Can we just leave the Kenny Burrell on the whole show, Rob? That would be really good. That's some good bumper music there, my friend. Hey, it's the Roundtable Panel on a Wednesday morning. God, it's a radiant, beautiful day. 9:15 on this beautiful, radiant Wednesday. And on our panel today, oh boy, what a radiant panel. Alan Shartok is here, looking very sunny. Nice to have you here.
Sunny. Da, 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 da.
Right. Sunny Albany, journalism professor and investigative. It's Rosemary Armeo. It still says investigative professor here in the lead-in.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Yeah. Investigative professor.
And a political consultant, lobbyist, all around, good person, Libby Post. Welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Oh, there's your microphone
over
there.
That's my mic we're sharing.
You're sharing a mic like George and Paul in the Beatles.
That's right. We can sing together.
Because Felicia Burke is here. Felicia is our membership director, and you got a big box here. It's black. It's got lock on it. What is that?
Well, it's radio, so I thought I'd come with visual aids. This is our actual locked box.
No
way. People have asked if we have one, and this is it.
Now,
it's got a slot in the top for the pledges to go right in there, fill it up.
Is there anything in it?
Hardly anything at all at the moment. That's what I'm here to talk about.
All right.
Actually, not to sneeze at it, you know, this is, believe me, for those people who have been stopping me and telling me you love the first hour of Roundtable, you love all of Roundtable, you love the first hour of Roundtable, and you don't want to miss it, you can't take any of it for granted. We know that. We know that we have all made this thing together. None of us are rich. What we are able to do is put something into the lockbox. Right now, Felicia, how much is there?
We have $89,791.63.
Wow, that's
which
not empty.
Is actually not empty at all. That's pretty significant.
And what happens is that it is beginning to fill up. Now, we made $300,000 the last time out. In
the lockbox?
In the lockbox, yeah. Yeah, $300,000. And we'd love to be able to do that again. But we know one thing, and that is I've been through 100 of these.
100 fund drives?
Yeah.
God, you're old.
And I can tell you this, we have never failed to make our goal. Never, ever. Now, sometimes we were all sobbing in the hallways, holding on to each other for dear life.
Yeah.
But the fact is that we all know what this means. And so I'm appealing to each of you, to you. Not to each of you, but to you, because I want to make it personal. See what I mean?
Yeah, you make a personal statement.
To put something in. Doesn't mean much. You just go to the locked box on WMC.org, and you click on it, and you can put $5 in.
Yeah,
or
a buck.
Or whatever. Now, there's something special going on, isn't there?
There is. Well, we thought for people who like to have something to acknowledge their gift, a little thank you, you can choose a premium. And we have our usual WAMC stuff, the Pete Seeger DVD, the baseball cap, the pint glass set, that kind of thing. But the new item that we're talking about now is we have a locked box tote.
Oh, cool.
And it's cool. It's brand new, and it's made 100% recycled plastic bottles and containers.
Excuse
me? Recycled, yeah.
A bag
and
that's
made out of the USA. Yeah, it's going to be
heavy.
It's a very jumbo tote, and it's going to be a nice, like, woven, firm tote. This is not your, dollar store kind of thing. Yeah, you can use it at the beach. You can use it for your groceries. You can use it for a multitude of things.
Right.
It's 19
inches
wide.
Well, in Great Barrington, we're not allowed to. Sorry for butting in, but in Great Barrington, we're not allowed to get to plastic
You're
anymore.
You're kidding me.
No. And if you want a bag, it costs you a dime. And the bags don't generally hold up, so they fall apart. So this is the great thing to be able to bring in with you.
That's right, your love.
It's got our logo and whatnot.
It'll have our logo on one side, and then a full color picture of the locked box on the other side.
Yeah.
Two things about that. Number one, when you go in, into the store with your WAMC Major League recycled tote bag, it marks you as an environmentalist, number one. Number two, it shows that you are a good person as opposed to a bad person.
Okay.
Because good people know how to share. And that's why it's, you automatically, and somebody will walk up to you, and if you're unmarried, and say, oh, I didn't know you were WMC here, and 2 weeks later, you will be married.
That's terrific.
It's guaranteed.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so take a picture of it and post it on your Ashley Madison account as well. Then you never know, even if you are married, right?
Boy, you're sharp. You are so sharp.
I put it on my Facebook page.
You put it on your Facebook page? You know, Libby, you are a team player, and we're proud of that.
I am.
Thanks very much. You know, Felicia, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're the membership director now.
So far, you are.
Yeah. Well, spoken like an executive. Hey, thanks for being here. Now, WAMC.org is the web address. Every dollar counts. Day one of the drive, and I believe that's October 5th, right?
Yeah. It is.
All right, 6 a.m. Alan will be in the chair,
and you'll be across there right making faces at me.
That's what they tell me, but you never know. We got a whole month to go before I get fired, so we'll see. Speaking of getting fired, let's get the panel underway. And if you want to weigh in here, roundtable at wamc.org is the email address. Felicia, it may be a tough pinch for you to get out. Why don't you wait till we hit our first break?
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, Rob Chacon, let's take a break now, and then we'll be back. We'll get into the show proper.
Support for WAMC comes from H. Houston Sun True Value Hardware and Just Ask Rentals Woodstock. Locally owned since 1932, featuring Benjamin Moore paints, tools, and materials for home maintenance. Behind every project is a true value. HHoust.com. TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus. Owners Jim and Tamara Falcone providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJ'sTaylorRental.com. And the Hyde Collection, Glens Falls. This summer, featuring the late drawings of Andy Warhol, 1973 to 1987, organized by the Andy Warhol Museum, one of the Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh, HydeCollection.org.
Roundtable bumper music par excellence. It is the Roundtable panel on a Wednesday morning, 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's the panel, don't you know? Ray Graff here in for Joe, and we're joined today by Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and WAMC's Alan Shartok. And the email address is roundtable at WAMC.org. You already got a shot your way, right?
We heard from Philip, who says, I've been wondering if and when Alan and his family go on a road trip, do they call it a fun drive?
Ha
ha! I think that's cute.
You like it.
Okay, next.
Right. Now, before we start this topic, we got a letter. I think it was a letter yesterday. It may have come during Vox Pop.
Yeah.
Someone said, how dare you cover these politics, these topics. There are many more important things. And I would suggest to the writer of that letter that very few things are more important than an election. Whether you're a liberal or a conservative, a statist or a libertarian, elections have consequences, and this is a big one. So we'll start there today. I'll take the heat if you wish. The GOP debate tonight. It's the first first presidential debate. Donald Trump was brash and bigger than life, and many thought that would hurt him. He got stronger. Now the stakes are even higher for tonight's debate, including for those at the little kids' table, which starts at 6, and the big debate starts at 8 o'clock. For whom are the stakes highest? Rosemary.
Jeb Bush. I would say Jeb Bush, who has sunk. He was the presumptive favorite, and he's fallen behind first Trump and now Ben Carson. He has to counter both of them, but also maintain his own persona, which is good guy, an upbeat, nice campaign. And I don't know how you do both. You can't deliver a shot and be in a good mood.
Well, you know, that's interesting because the most recent poll said the best person that the GOP had, if assuming Hillary was going to be the candidate, was Jeb Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that from the very beginning. I believe it. But there was also a poll, which I mentioned yesterday, which was something like 66% of Republicans, registered Republicans, said they don't know who they're going to vote for, you know, in a primary. So there is the entertainment factor of a Donald Trump. I mean, it's like people are turning in to watch, what's the name of that stupid program he had?
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
Yeah.
It's like people were tuning in to watch more insults given on The Apprentice. You're looking inquisitive.
No, I'm listening.
Yeah. Oh, are you sure?
I'm getting used to the new studio.
Okay. So
wasn't sure that was you. The chairs are very short, and the console's very high. I saw the top of your head. Wanted to make sure it was you.
See now.
I have that same problem.
It's like driving in Florida.
In case anybody... in case...
Only his left blinker. Oh, his left blinker is on.
Yeah,
actually.
You know, it's like
in case anybody didn't get it. That was a shot, a first rate shot.
Nonsense.
I see your your head, he says.
That was a height thing.
That was a height thing.
No, it's because there are low chairs and higher
about weight desk.
No, but you'll agree that the chairs are a little lower.
I'm even a little like I could use a phone book to sit on.
Libby Post, thank you for backing me up on
that. Well, in any case,
it's rare.
So I wanted to go back to this business about that you started with, because I sort of lost a little bit yesterday when on the Vox Pop, which I was moderating.
Correct,
on that very issue. Somebody called and said, let's talk about the issues. Let's not talk about the... But the fact is that in our form of government, whoever gets to be the president really does set the table, sets the agenda. That's why it is so important that we discuss the way this is going, so that people can check in, so that they can have their say, and so that we can say things on this radio station that, trust me, are not said anywhere else, because it is so important. So, Ray, I'm with you on that one.
You know, with 11 candidates on the stage at the Reagan Museum, it seems to me that there won't be enough time for anybody to really make a huge jump. It's Trump's
that,
to lose,
CNN
isn't it?
Has said it won't be moderator-dominated as it was the last time. They wanted to open it more so that they can go at each other. The candidates can argue back and forth. So
they want
it sounds
people
like,
watching.
It sounds like a brawl to me. I can't wait to watch
it. And they're going to take clips from the kids' table debate, if they're really strong, and play them so that the people at the adults' table
can react.
And it's like you get a minute and then you get 30 seconds to respond. There's a red and a yellow light. It's going to be a free-for-all.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, talking about the kids' table, we had, I heard George Pataki on this very station yesterday announcing that he thought that even though he was at the kids' table, for a grown man, that's not too nice. But even though he was at the kids' table, enough people would see him, and there would be this massive outpouring of people who would support him.
Well, it wasn't a massive outpouring, but I believe Carly Fiorina's performance on the JV debate propelled her to this debate.
Mm-hmm.
And she certainly has something to gain today.
I think the Republican Party is in free fall. What the heck has happened to them? It's just pandemonium.
They're in a pincer movement. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you can't win a primary with the 15% who come out and vote, who are the ideologues, if you're not, you know, don't do the very things you're referring to, Rosemary, and act crazy. Alienate women. Alienate
people of color.
Alienate Hispanics.
Alienate anyone who can think.
Right. Now, those are all people that add up to a winning constituency in an election, and they know it, but they can't stop themselves because they can't get the nomination without being, you know, nutty.
Well, you know, Donald Trump, if he gets the nomination, it'll be interesting to see if he actually moves to the center or if he stays exactly where he is, because he's a no, I'm not going to apologize for anything I've said ever. And so if you do that and then you get the nomination and it's clear you need to, move to the center so that maybe some of the left-leaning independents will come over to you, it'll be very interesting,
yes,
because I don't know if he can backtrack and save face.
Well, maybe not. You may notice that there is now a concerted movement within the conservative Republican part of the party to call Trump, when nothing else has worked, a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that he's liberal on some issues.
There are some indications, according to stuff you had us read, Ray, that Trump is moving.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, I love this one. He's a germaphobe. He hates to be touched. And yet he's now walking the line.
Glad-handing.
He's glad-handing, tossing out hats and trying to act. It makes you wonder how he married three times if he's a germaphobe. That was my first thought.
I don't get that.
That means buy stock and Purell.
He doesn't like to be touched by people, That he doesn't like to shake hands because you have to touch the hoi polloi.
Sex is not touching.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, that's another conversation.
Oh, geez. Now we're getting back in the whole Clinton thing. You know, there was a great quote here, and we're going to take a break.
The other Clinton, one who's running.
That's right.
The Bill Clinton.
There's a great quote here in one of the CNN pieces leading up to this. What's at stake for 2016ers on debate night? And this was a quote from a Republican strategist who says, I think debates tend to work in Trump's favor because at the core of their performances, he's a celebrity who has been performing for the better part of 35 years. So none of this is new to him. So I say, with 11 people up there, it'll be tough to gain a lot of ground or lose a lot of ground unless he does something really ridiculous.
Well, he did that the last time, Ray, and he ended up going up in the polls. That's That's why we are, we can't turn away from him. It's like a car wreck. How did he get here? How is he so powerful? And he actually is getting the idea, I think, that he could be president. It may have been a lark or an exploration to begin with, or to get back at the president for mocking him.
Right.
But he's really seeing that he might win. It's terrifying.
I think it's very early to make that assumption. It is, speaking of early, we're actually running late here. It is 9:29. It's a Wednesday.
Whoa.
The Roundtable panel, roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. We'll take a break for a little news, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:33 Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue on our Roundtable panel today. Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, we have some email.
We do. Not a lot, but some. We have heard from someone whose name is unclear. Someone. Mitt Romney prostituted himself to the point that I couldn't tell where he really stood and how he would vote. True. Others are doing the same this time. Bush is trying to be more conservative. I thought that there was the Republican Party and the Conservative Party. Different lines on the ballot. And Ted says, careful, we cannot continue to say that it is too early to make that assumption that Trump could be president. And every day the lead story is Trump for president. And Jones says, you have to be a masochist to watch the GOP debates. Nothing can be more painful than watching a bunch of crazies, in quotes, debating on who can be my president. That's from Joan. And we have also heard from Sean. That's S-H-A-N. An election between Trump and Bernie Sanders will be the next personal elected president of the United States, but he either will govern over the worst depression since 1929, or they, the Republican moneyed interests, will steal the election again, no doubt in my mind.
That's skeptical and cynical, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little depressing.
David says, I just want to say I'm very ashamed of the Hungarian government.
Yes.
Not all Hungarians are so crazy. I am the son of Hungarian refugees who fled in the 1956 revolution. I remember that quite well, by the way.
And that group has been outspoken in criticism of the government acting negatively towards refugees. Yes.
Not done with this little note. My grandfather eventually went to Montreal by boat, a dangerous journey. Sounds familiar, says David.
Okay, and that's a great seg into our next topic.
Okay.
Unless you want to keep going with the
others. No, I think that's about it.
Greek police say the past 24 hours have seen about 5,000 people crossing the northern border with Macedonia in an attempt to reach more prosperous European Union countries such as Germany and Sweden. More than 250,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Greece so far this year. Romania's president says top defense officials there will meet tomorrow to discuss the migrant crisis and what the country can do. And Austrian Federal Railways has stopped all train traffic from Salzburg near the German border into Germany itself, citing a request from Germany. Hungary's foreign minister says the razor wire fence on its border with Serbia is needed to secure the European Union's external border and will remain as long as large numbers of migrants keep trying to enter Hungary.
This is so interesting because on the one hand, you have everybody shaking their fingers and saying, you have to be better people, you have to let people in and all the rest. And yet, as somebody said on the BBC when they were talking to the Hungarian guy yesterday with a beautiful, mellifluous voice, and he was saying, exactly when are the, and it was the Beeb questioning him, exactly when are you going to let 200,000 people into Great Britain? So in other words, there's the reality of what's going on. We're not taking 200,000 people in the United States, no matter how much finger wagging goes on. So that while, it may seem like I'm unsympathetic to this, I'm not. There is a reality in this situation.
I think we need to be careful of the language that we use. These people aren't migrants. They're refugees.
All right.
They are political refugees. They're
war refugees.
Yeah, war refugees. But they're leaving their country because of the politics and danger and a war. And if we don't do what needs to be done to make these to give these people housing, food, get their kids into some kind of schools, make them feel like they're part of some society.
Yep.
I guarantee you, what's going to happen is ISIS will find its way into these camps and radicalize the younger folks, and then it'll be yet another opportunity for radical Islam to take hold.
Make no mistake, though. What Hungary is doing is different than what Germany and other countries are doing, which is trying to slow down the flow so they can actually screen people and process them. They're overwhelmed by that and want to slow down things. What Hungary has done is put up a barbed wire fence, sending in their military. So I see...
Well, except
for
the entry people. That's the entryway, right?
Well, so is Serbia. And so, Serbia is not doing it. Hungary is the only one. So is Greece, and Greece isn't doing it. Hungary has taken a stand that within a couple weeks we could be doing a story about military people shooting at children. And that's what's happening.
Could be is a big leap.
They've sent the army in.
But
not clearly to shoot children, right?
Over
50% of the refugees are children. So what are the chances?
Right? Okay, terrible,
and terrible. They don't
want for both of you, and that is, give us some instruction as to what should happen. Should the United States, for example, take 100,000 Syrian refugees tomorrow and make places for them?
The United States could take, what are we pressing for, 10,000, which is five times more than we have in the past 5 years, taking in that many Syrians. And yes, we have room for them. I keep getting notes from listeners saying, where would you put them all? Well, Detroit for one place. These are people, again, who are productive, mostly middle class, many middle class. They could be contributing citizens. But no, not take them tomorrow. You definitely have to process and screen. We don't want ISIS operatives coming in. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that could happen is that the EU met on this. I praise them for saying, yes, the countries are getting together for concerted action. And they didn't reach an agreement in one day, like, wow, surprise. And they said, okay, well, we'll deal with it again next month. In a month? Really? When you have thousands of people teeming out of Syria every day? So it's not responsible.
The other thing here is, where is the UN? You haven't heard anything about the UN Commission on Refugees dealing with any of this, coming in with aid. I saw a story this morning that Saudi Arabia has 100,000 air-conditioned tents, and they're not letting any of these folks in.
Well, it's just a misnomer to speak of the UN as a separate power. The UN is as powerful as the United States and Russia allow it to be. So the same players who are stalling all of this also stall operations at the UN.
Well, Ray sent us an article yesterday about this Greek billionaire who wants to, he knows of two Greek
he's
islands.
He's an Egyptian billionaire.
No, he's an Egyptian. He wants to buy two islands.
Two islands and make this place. And would say that we'll put a lot of money into the infrastructure, but in the end we'll have the infrastructure. That's how countries start, by the way.
That's true. That's true.
Did you see this cross the wire? I think early this morning, Syrian President Bashar Assad is blaming Europe for the migration crisis, saying it's a direct result of the West's support for extremists in Syria over the past 4 years. In an interview with Russian media, Assad accused Europe of supporting terrorism and providing protection for terrorists, calling them moderates. If you're worried, this is a quote from Assad, if you're worried about them, the refugees, stop supporting terrorists. He's also accused Europe of having unacceptable double standards. Assad says, how can one be indignant about a drowned child and remain silent about the deaths of thousands of children, elderly people, women, and men killed by terrorists in Syria?
And
he's neglecting his own gas
attack. What about sarin gas, right? I mean, you know, I saw that 60 Minutes segment just like everybody else did, where you had hundreds of kids and parents and people just dead in the street because somebody gassed them and nobody's taking responsibility. He's got to take responsibility for setting up the situation where people leave his country because of the politics there and the repression there.
I think he's a monster. I've said that. Yep. However, he has a real point here. It was the United States destabilizing Iraq that led to the formation of ISIS, and we have not acted in Syria in a way that, well, it was difficult. I mean, I'm not putting that down, but we did not find one group to support, and we absolutely led to destabilization of Syria. We are to blame.
Well, he crossed that UN line about the gas attacks, right?
And yes,
and we didn't go in as we said we would.
Because there was not uniformity within our own government, much less with our allies about that. And therefore, and now he's saying the West is wrong. If we had gone in and supported the rebels and they won, then we'd be the heroes. But we
didn't. I mean, it was pretty destabilized before that.
Absolutely.
But are we going to support ISIS? I mean, because in the end, that's what this is about. Right. We keep positing that if we're on the side of democracy, and that there would be instant democracy if these other guys won.
Right.
There would not be.
Not.
It would be another terroristic regime that cuts people's heads off.
Yeah, he also has a point, though.
America. I'm sorry. You know, it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, he also has a point about his government is one of the few on-the-ground forces against ISIS, and yet we can't really form an alliance with him to fight ISIS, even though it's in both our common interests. The Russians are.
So yeah. What happens there? Does the country become more stable, and does everybody go back?
Well, you get rid of ISIS, and you also keep Assad in power. That's what happens. So is that stable? Yes.
I mean, wasn't the U.S. position that Assad was the reason that this country was...
Correct.
He was killing his own people... And
he is killing his
own
people.
And he had to go.
He's killing his own people because he believes that the war groups, the rebels against him, are among the people, which is true.
Mario Cuomo used to tell me, a good political person will think six moves down the road. Okay, let's assume we send in the troops and somehow we knock out Assad. Then what happens?
It's true.
Well, the Russians won't allow that, right?
Well, no, but the point it really is there's an unacceptable second level, right? I mean, our first position is we were going to get rid of dictators. Good. Sounds good. We want to get rid of dictators. But then what happens when we do, when we destabilize in each of these cases? We've seen what happens, and it ain't good.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan, anything in the mailbag?
There are some things in the mailbag. Our friend Bonnie writes to us. Last night, heard great quote regarding the current European crisis from a former African prime minister. You can't stop wind with your hands, says Bonnie. And Ken says... while Rome burns and the RNC clown show readies its second act, the DNC remains absent. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is attempting to hide her candidate boss from At Bernie to the detriment of serious discourse. We are left to RNC farce, and that's from Ken.
Isn't there a Democratic debate coming up?
Yes, there will. I think it'll be, what, six or six debates?
Yeah.
They're on the way.
And Ozone says, Pete from Toland, okay, yes, they're refugees from wars and violence fomented by the United States of America. This is called blowback. And no, I have no idea what we should do for these people. But we ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till the climate refugees join the mass migration. By the way, Assad is correct in his statements about the causes here.
Only partially correct. Clearly, he had a great deal to do with this.
Julius, our regular correspondent Julius, who I admire so much. Most of the time.
Okay.
There was significant evidence that the sarin attack you're referring to was not from Assad's side. Remember the Iran yellow cake story?
Iraq yellow cake.
Iraq. Oh, you're so right. I'm so sorry.
No, Iran has plenty of yellow cake.
Yeah. Okay, so here comes Paul excoriating us. Seriously, I'm not even a Republican, but it's infuriating to listen to Rosemary Allen and Libby Post digest the Republican campaign. But it's not just that. Day after day, you smugly analyze the news with nearly all bomb-throwing voices from the left. You've never thought to avail yourself of one, just one person who could possibly come from the other side. And seriously, as sincere and smart as Rosemary may be, must she be the expert on everything? Well, first of all...
I never talk about medical or astronomical issues.
Well, Paul, take it back. Rosemary does know everything.
She's she's the smartest one I know.
Yeah, that's number one. And number two... you know, I have to say, you're not listening if you think that from this panel you don't hear occasional arguments from the other side. Mm-hmm. We do. And you're just wrong.
I do think in a general sense, the media tends to, and I've been watching a lot of news on the Republicans, and there seems to be sort of a kind of a smirky way it's presented.
You just
have to watch the body language and watch the faces and the smirks.
Smirky by who?
Well, I'm not going to say the networks, but I've watched several of them.
Oh, you mean the journalists are smirky?
Yeah, there's a smirky way that the whole thing is approached, and it may be a raised eyebrow. It's very tough to do a quantitative analysis or qualitative analysis of these sort of things. But you certainly get that impression. And again, watch it with the sound off for a while and see what I mean.
All you have to do is listen to these people, and you have no... There's no other option but to respond
way. I think that's an oversimplification. And it's not listening. If what they say, and you listen to what they say, and it frightens you, fine. But don't reject it before you hear it.
I think the letter is right. I find it. I am unable to understand Republican friends who I actually admire and respect who say, "Oh, Donald Trump, you know, just disregard all the insults. He says what he really thinks, and he's different." I do not understand it. I actually would like to hear someone who could put that to me in a way that totally. Got to me.
Well, we do happen to read, I must say, every letter that comes mm-hmm. in here. Including this guy, last guy's mm-hmm. polls. So it's not as if they're voiceless. It's not as if anybody doesn't have a chance. We do that, and we're proud of it. Oh, yes, and we've heard from Stacy. Hi, Roundtable.
Hi.
Yes, the USA should accept 200,000 refugees, screen refugees. We need to step up and show some leadership here, says Stacy. And Rosemary, you are crazy if you do not think that ISIS is right now embedding terrorists into the throngs of otherwise.
Wait, I do think that.
And you said so.
I've said so. I absolutely do. There's an interesting article in the Times Union in Albany today about that. But I do also think that screening and processing rules those out. That's why I don't think Germany is crazy to want to slow down things and look at who's coming in.
Well, you know, poor Angela Merkel. She said the right thing. She did the right thing. And it was as if, you know, it opened up the floodgates. And then they had to sort of reverse and saying there's a limit to what we'll do or how many people we'll take. Mm-hmm. So there's a sort of a, I don't want to use a bad word here, but there's sort of a schizoid, approach that everybody has to do. And so says John, I don't think there should be border control anywhere, but to deny that this region is right now exporting violent terrorists is ludicrous. You didn't. On the contrary,
you didn't. I agree with you. I agree with you, John.
Okay. I get it. I'm just, you know, reading stuff that has come in, and I believe, Alice checked in from yesterday. Rosemary was correct in saying that Jesus was a Jew, but not in adding he became a Christian. Jesus was deeply Jewish and remained a Jew all of his life. He did not intend to establish a new religion, but saw himself as having a mission within Judaism. His early followers were Jewish. The pagans at Antioch called the apostles Christians first and used it derogatorily. Great program, said Alice.
That's interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was written yesterday before this program.
No, it was written today.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
She said it was about yesterday.
Yes. I missed that conversation.
But that's why always the Jews are always blamed for Christ's death, that we killed our own, which wasn't true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's sort of the letters for now.
Very interesting, Alan. Thank you so much for sharing those with us.
Wait a sec.
Oh, boy.
Accepting. Well, there is. It's not good. Alan thinks, reads things he does not agree with a sneer. It is apparent how Alan feels.
This is an opinion show.
Well, no,
I
resent that.
You
know, I mean, I don't sneer. How can you sneer?
You don't sneer?
Well, I'm not a sneerer.
You're sneering at me.
You just doesn't read well.
I'm a schmearer.
Or a schnorrer.
No, I'm not a schnorrer. Take that back, Libby.
Someone call me schnorrer. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Let's take a break. Get us out of here, Rob.
Support for WMC comes from Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts. A new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs. SteveLewisSubaru.com. The Brattleboro Retreat, presenting their Stand Up to Stigma campaign, working to help people understand mental illness and addiction, brattlebororetreat.org/standup. And Kimlin Propane, installing and providing propane services for homes and businesses throughout Ulster, Orange, and Sullivan counties, kimlinpropane.com.
The roundtable panel on a Wednesday morning. We're rounding it up here and wrapping it up here in the new Dig Studio A, 9:52 on a Wednesday morning. Alan, Libby, Rosemary, and Ray in for Joe. What do you think about the new studio, Libby? It's your first day in here.
It's lovely.
Yeah?
It really is lovely. You know, it used to be black. Now it's gray. the foam
you
stuff.
You like the foam? Foam
is, yes, I do. But it also makes the room seem larger. The table, while it is not round, does have rounded corners.
Yeah.
And gives us more of an ability to interact with one another.
It's terrific.
So I think it's lovely. And
this was paid for out of the last fund drive.
That is such a good point. It really is.
That was a wonderful segue.
It really was. It was a wonder. It was paid for. And our Woody Woodworth, who came in here and with great precision, you know, did these.
Did he
the foam
cut each,
on this, oh, each one? I was watching him
he
do
cut
it.
Each one.
It was unbelievable.
No, Libby. Libby's referring to the pyramid-shaped sound insulation, which is not inexpensive at all.
Which you can see, by the way, by going to WMC.org and then. If you want to watch it.
Oh, yeah. You can just click on live video and you can see the reticulated foam that is on the wall.
It's
I love that.
You know,
it's like
a snake. If you like sort of blur your eyes a little bit, you can have an out-of-body experience.
All right, fair enough. So now we'll put
so
on some,
thank you
put
to,
on some Quicksilver Messenger service and we'll
would
all trip
you do that?
Out.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
fine.
That's exactly where I was going without actually saying.
We're
it.
Off the rails again. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson says San Francisco's policy of not cooperating with immigration officials is counterproductive and unacceptable. Johnson spoke Tuesday at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco and made the comments in response to questions about the July slaying of Kate Steinle as she walked along the San Francisco waterfront. The man charged in that killing had been deported 5 times to his native Mexico and was out on the streets after San Francisco officials disregarded a request from immigration authorities to keep him locked up. San Francisco's sanctuary law prohibits city employees from helping federal authorities with immigration investigations or arrests until required by law or a warrant. Johnson said it's not acceptable to have no policy of cooperation with immigration officials. Panel.
It's interesting. I'll tell you that much. I understand what the motivation for the sanctuary cities is. They want to protect those people who are most vulnerable. And we have 12 million people we know about. Some claim it's a lot more who are undocumented in this country. And we have all known people, at least I have, who have been around for 10 years and all of a sudden put in a car, a black car, and whisked away. And his relatives and the kids who are in school and others have never don't see them again. Or they come back another way. So I get it. I understand the motivation. On the other hand, you can't have laws and not say that they should be upheld.
Well, embedded in Johnson's criticism of the cities is an acknowledgement of a problem by immigration. This guy who killed that woman had been deported 5 times. So him being caught, it should be, and it was not, a higher priority than some guy who's working as a dishwasher trying to raise his family. Yet the way it happens now is immigration treats all of them the same. So cities are right to say, show us a warrant and then we'll help you out. And you know, Johnson said we're going to start prioritizing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Libby.
That's
go
okay.
Ahead.
I also think the whole concept of sanctuary cities came about when, you know, there was some very clear-cut political realities, say, down in Latin America, where you had some very horrible dictators, and people were coming here seeking sanctuary, you know, from the Sandinistas, from the folks in El Salvador, from whoever was in power in some of these countries. And those laws or those statutes have stayed on the books, and people have then used them to their own advantage, where they're not, these sanctuary cities were built out of political need to help protect political refugees who couldn't get their citizenship very quickly. And honestly, you know, this situation where the guy who was deported 5 times and is back is exactly what Donald Trump has used as his soundbite and has why he's gotten the traction he's gotten, because there's reality behind this. And so we need to find a way. When somebody's deported for good reason, we need to find a way to keep them out.
Now, here's
I'm not saying build a wall.
Or a moat or anything like that.
Or anything like that. But we need to track people. We need to do this correctly.
But how do you
correctly?
Do it in a way that you can afford? You
well, that's
the
problem.
Easier
that's
said
problem.
Than done. I listen to your program religiously, says John.
Hi, John.
And have not heard Rosemary make the point about embedded terrorists. Actually, she has.
We just discussed. But maybe that was before.
No, she's done it many times. Okay.
Talking about
if
it.
She does, 99 times, she talks about how hardworking and desirable these folks are for every one time she mentions a terrorist among them.
True, I do.
Okay. Again, I want all countries to accept refugees. You cannot screen them. This is the interesting part.
It's not true.
It's immature to think you can. Better to accept the coming wave as penance for doing the right thing. This is our world. You can't have everything you want. I say let the terrorists in and help the needy. Okay, and when the next 9/11 happens, you're going to say, well, that's just the price you pay?
Right. Look, when my grandparents came here, when your grandparents
came
here.
Yeah, Ellis Island, that's all about screening. And that was also a wave of refugees. Yes. It can be done. I think that there's a point here that we have not funded immigration right now to the point where they can do it efficiently. There's no question about that. I keep talking about a story I'm doing about a young man mm-hmm. in Iran seeking asylum, and they can't set up a meeting. They simply do not have the time to deal with quirky cases.
And that's because the Republicans are cutting funding right and left. Right.
But yes, we do have the ability. Immigration does know how to screen out undesirables.
Anything else? I got nothing.
Okay. And then from Stephen, talk about calling it corporate welfare. Tea Party uses lefty trope, T-R-O-P-E, trope.
Yeah, like, you know, total trope.
15 seconds.
To describe bank.
Export, import.
Yeah,
bank.
Ironic, ain't it?
All right, well, thank you for that ironic final note today. And thanks to Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. You can keep the conversation going at WAMC.org/roundtable or email us, roundtable@WAMC.org. If it is particularly good, we may read it again tomorrow, but it's not likely. So just wait till the show tomorrow.
Sure, wait.
Hey, hour number two is on the way.